We got a chance to look at Beeson just yesterday as well. He looks good. He's on the side. He's doing what he has to do. He's got, you know, regular sneakers on. So that, of course, is an improvement. And he is still on schedule, from what we understand, to play opening day against the Detroit Lions. But for the time being, he's on the PUP list, so he will not practice. We expect to see guys limited the following. John Jerry, the offensive lineman, coming off of a knee situation. Mario Manningham, also off of a knee situation. He will be limited as well. And William Beattie, who, by the way, ran very, very well yesterday during the wind sprints. Quite frankly, I was surprised. I did not know what to expect from Will Beattie. But he was getting back and forth pretty good, especially for a guy his size. And that's very, very good news for the Giants. Gives them a lot of optimism that his rehab is going very well. And that, as he says, that he'll be ready for opening day against the Detroit Lions. All right, our phone number to call, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants Chat. Paul Dottino with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We may be able to take you up till 11 o'clock. We'll see how things go if the calls continue to flood in. I know a lot of people are excited. This is their first chance to see the new New York Giants out on the practice field for the 2014 season. I know one of the things that I'm very interested to see, and we've talked about this quite a bit over the course of the offseason, and we're not really going to, you know, see a whole lot today. I mean, it's only the first practice, but I'm really interested to see some of the offensive plays that they run, because we've seen things during the OTAs and the mini camps that really will shock a lot of Giants fans. They're not going to look like the Giants to you offensively when you see it, how many different styles and types of things that they've thrown into this offensive scheme, thanks to new coordinator Ben McAdoo, who has come over from the Packers. Okay, I think it's time to go to the phone calls. Let's go to phone caller number one. Is that B from Atlanta? Let's go to him. He wants to talk D-line. How are you? Hello, you are first on the program.
Okay, yeah, I was just calling to ask you about the D-line. Who do you think will start, DeMontre Moore or Kiwi, beginning of the season?
Well, you have to understand something. They brought in Robert Ayers from the Denver Broncos to be the starting end opposite JPP. So neither Moore or Kiwanuka will be your starting D-ends as I see it. I believe that they're rotation defensive ends right now. Depending upon how well DeMontre Moore comes along, he will get more and more snaps as the season goes on. But for the time being, you know, you're going to probably see Ayers on first down on the left defensive end spot, replacing Justin Tuck's old position. And, you know, you'll obviously see Kiwi playing some defensive tackle, I think, in the sub-package on occasion as well.
Okay, and one more question. The tight end position, is that going to be by committee, or will we have someone who's our legitimate starter?
No, but right now it's strictly by committee, because what we saw in the OTAs and at minicamp is that virtually on every snap they were changing guys out and rotating them. Let's face it. No one on the Giants roster right now amongst the tight ends has an accomplished resume. It's rather thin. And until somebody steps forward and seizes the job, there's really no favorite to become the starter. Now, I will tell you this. The Giants are going to be looking at the waiver wire. And if somebody out there from a West Coast offense gets cut, either in the first cut or the second cut, I would not at all be surprised if he winds up landing here before the Detroit game opening day. Of the guys they have on the roster now, I look at Kellen Davis, been in the league for 7 years, been with the Bears, been with the Seahawks.
I look at him,
and if it were me right now, I would give him the best opportunity to try to win the job, but that doesn't mean that I'm comfortable with any of the tight ends they have on the roster right now.
Yeah, I know he had a little bit of drop season in Chicago sometimes, so maybe that's why.
Well,
okay, thank you.
Yeah, okay, appreciate the call.
Thank you, Paul.
No problem. Thanks for checking in with us. 201-939-4513. The bottom line is no one to this point has stepped forward and emerged as the favorite through the spring drills. Rocky, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
How's it going, Paul?
Good to talk to you.
Hey, I thought Kiwi was in line to just kind of, I know they don't give starting jobs away, but he's kind of earned a nod, hasn't he?
Well, you know, we have to remember something about Kiwanuka. because of his flexibility and his ability to play inside in the sub package, and they rotate defensive ends here, at least when they have four healthy defensive ends, they're all going to get approximately 40 to 45 snaps by the time the game is over. And really what it comes down to, it's going to be situational play. And in a certain situation, if they feel that such-and-such defensive end or such-and-such defensive tackle is better suited to go against this particular opponent, that's probably who's going to get either certain reps in certain spots or maybe certain reps on certain days. I think they want as much flexibility amongst their defensive ends as possible. You remember when they won their Super Bowls in the last decade, both of those Super Bowls, they had guys who they could rotate in and out and also occasionally slide down. Tuck and Kiwanuka both slid down into the defensive tackle spots on many of occasions. So did JPP. So,
right.
You know what I mean? It's I hate to say this to you, but it's the truth. Who cares who starts? It's really not relevant with the way the Giants run it.
Right. Well, I like what you said, because I think Ayers is a better run stuffer than Kiwi. So him playing on first down, I could see that. What I was hoping happened, since JPP's about 278, 280, and a little bigger than the other ones, I was projecting him at starting at left end and Kiwi starting at right, and then Ayers backing JPP up on the left side and Moore backing Kiwi up on the right side.
I think the reason that you want to have JPP starting at the left, the right defensive end, I got confused there for a second, you want him at right defensive end because you want him on the blind side.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be your most dynamic pass rusher, so that's where you want him coming from.
Right. Well, I didn't know Kiwi shifted inside. I knew JPP did it, especially because of his size and Nunny Tuck did it. But I thought they brought in Ayers because he was going to be the one to shift inside, because he did that at Denver a little bit.
Oh, I think that's the problem. You see, if you talk to Robert Ayers, he will tell you that part of the reason he believes he may have been an underachiever, I don't think he would use that word, but why things didn't go as well in Denver for him personally and stat-wise as he would have liked was because they kept screwing with how they used him. And
right.
He's really excited about how the Giants are going to use him. They're going to line him up at that defensive end spot on the left side and say, okay, just play. Do what you do best. They're not going to mess with him in the scheme. And I think he believes that's going to get the best out of him.
Okay. And I wanted to touch, I think it was Charlie said something about the fact that we might not even carry a fullback this year.
Well, it has been speculated. It has been speculated by some people that because the Giants have a real roster crunch, that maybe they could do without a fullback. Since the West Coast offense is such a pass-happy offense and they use a lot of the tight ends, and that the running backs are coming out of the backfield a lot for pass-receiving purposes. So it's like, well, do you really need the typical blocking fullback that the Giants used to use in their old scheme? I still maintain that they do. And so I'm saying that Connor and Inoski are battling for one spot. I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
Okay, yeah, well, I knew we signed Connor to a two-year deal. That's why, and I know how Tolson's a traditionalist, and he's probably going to want that lead blocking fullback. But just the fact that if we really go through West Coast and just spread, you know, with the foreigner base packages, I was wondering if, I know you high on Hillis and said he pumped up a little bit, and I agree with you. He used to play a little fullback, and John was talking about his lead blocking is questionable or whatever, but if they go through West Coast like foreign-air formations, have you seen them do any foreign-air stuff, Paul?
Well, I've seen them do a lot of stuff, including some of what you talked about. Now, remember this, okay? McAdoo comes from the Packers. John Kuhn is a pure fullback who does a lot of pass receiving in that scheme. I've talked to the Giants fullbacks, both Connor and Inoski. And Inoski, in fact, lost 5 pounds over the course of the last couple of weeks because he wanted to be a little lighter and a little quicker, realizing that the Giants do want the fullback to become a little bit more versatile, not just a straight-ahead, plow-in-your-face kind of guy. And so that also says to me, if Inoski's been given that direction and he has acted upon it, that also says to me that, indeed, they plan on keeping a fullback.
I think so, too. I was just intrigued with the possibility of maybe Hillis playing that fullback from the far-air formations and being like that Russian-type fullback like a Zonk and Riggins, you know, the old school Paul?
People have talked about it. Yeah, people have talked about it. Hillis is kind of a tweener. Whether or not they go that way, I think the only way that that happens, I'm not going to rule it out. I don't think it's likely, but I would not rule it out if only because the Giants find that they have a numbers crunch at other positions, and if they really get jammed up and say, okay, we have to keep three quarterbacks, for example, which I don't think they want to do. But if they wind up forced to keep three because Nassib plays well enough, but they're not sure if he's good enough to be the two, they're going to be like, well, now what do? We got to steal somebody from another position. I suppose there's an outside chance that Hillis becomes the hybrid fullback, but I think it's still going to be between Heinoski and Connor for one spot. That's the way I go. Again, things could change, but if you had a bet, I'd go that way.
Well, what I was kind of intrigued with the possibility of them actually maybe going two tight ends. I know nobody wants to hear that, but I would like to see both fullbacks on the roster because I remember in Green Bay I used to see a lot of two fullback looks, and I was thinking that would be nice if we had both of them fullbacks.
Let me tell you something. What we saw during the spring, not only did we see tight ends lining up wide and tight ends lining up in the slot, we saw double tight ends with each guy lining up in the slot. We saw guys lining up as H-backs. I'm telling you, when you get a look at what the Giants are going to run on offense this year, you are not going to recognize it, especially with the tight ends. The way they are deploying their tight ends this year, it's the kind of stuff that the Giants have never done before, at least what they've shown us during the spring. Will that continue into the season? I don't know. Maybe they try it out in the preseason and they decide that they don't like it. But it's a totally revamped tight end scheme that you're likely to see when they get to opening day.
Right, that's what I like to hear that because I was hoping they'd do that. And that's why I was thinking maybe Heinoski and Hillis could kind of play that little H-back role if need be, you know. I know John said that Heinoski didn't really have the route running ability, but like you said, if he's dropped some pounds and stuff and a little bit lighter, I think that's a possibility.
Heinoski's got great hands, too. Heinoski can catch the ball, and that's not to be underestimated. Hillis is a pretty good pass receiver as well coming out of the backfield. Hey, I appreciate the call, Rocky. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, let's go to John. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, Paul, what's going on?
Hey, good to talk to you.
Hey, I want to talk defense real quick.
Sure.
I want to talk from the outside back, so we'll start from the DBs and work up to the D-line. I'm really excited about Stevie Brown coming back, and I want to know what your opinion is about him and Roll together, how good you think they could be back there.
Well, you know, we saw them together a couple of years ago. The Giants were very successful back there with those two. The only issue is, and John brought this up yesterday, and he's got a fair point. You know, the Giants are better when Antrell Roll's playing free safety and the other safety's playing strong safety. The problem is when you look at Stevie Brown, he truly is more of a free safety. It's kind of like having two free safeties back there because Brown's a ball hawk just like Roll is. Now, Roll is so good in run support that he can also play strong. And that's why many times out of necessity, the Giants were forced to play him down into the box and he helped out in run support. But I think Roll would tell you the last 2 years that he made the Pro Bowl, he was playing more free safety. I like Stevie Brown. He's come back very strong from the ACL. He says he's very, very close to 100%, probably expects to be by opening day. That is all good news for the Giants. I think he's a good player. He knows what he's doing. Again, more of a typical free safety style, but that doesn't mean it can't succeed. Again, they played together a couple of years ago, and it worked out fine. If for some reason, though, it doesn't work out, and for I can't say what, is it his knee, is it the scheme, whatever it is, I know the Giants are very happy with Quentin Demp so far. He's a tad slower in coverage, but he does hit hard, and he's more of a typical strong safety style of player. Nonetheless, I do believe that Brown is the starter, and it's his job to lose. I will also tell you, you can expect to see a lot of the three-safety package, which should be no surprise to you. Perry Fuel has liked to use that style of defense, and so you'll probably see a lot of Demps and Brown and Roll together. And if they do it that way, you're talking about two guys playing free safety and one guy playing strong, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's, you know, that definitely sounds like a good package, too. I'm a fan of Dems, too. You know, I like what is working in Kansas City, and I like what is the special teams, and, the more you can do on defense in those packages, the more you can help the team win. So
you know what's interesting? Debs told Dave Merritt, one of the Giants' secondary coaches, that he believed, and this goes back to what I was saying to you earlier about Robert Ayers being maybe misproperly or not properly used. Apparently, Debs told Coach Merritt that he believes he's never been used properly in the schemes that he's played in either, that teams have asked him to play more free safety when he's truly a strong safety. So, again, another player who signed here believing that this scheme is better suited to bring out the best in him. And we're going to see if that's the case.
Well, that's a good thing. It shows a good faith in our coaching staff that they can talk to their position coaches and they can get the best out of the players on the field. So definitely a good thing for us.
Always underestimated. People don't understand that, but the coaching staff, not just the head coach, but the
individual
staff, can make a huge difference in a football team.
Coach, yeah. Coach Merritt is a great coach.
He is terrific.
Now, defensive back-wise, now I know we're going to have Prince and DRC on the two outsides. Now, Walter Thurman and Zach Bowman from Chicago,
yeah,
I believe his name is. Are they going to be the next two in line?
Thurman is your nickelback, one of the best nickel cover corners in the National Football League, so don't worry about that. Now, again, it depends on how many guys you're going to play in the secondary. You're playing nickel package. Well, you know, if your nickel has Thurman, if you're going to go to your dime or your three safety package, that's going to be Debs, Brown, and Roll. You really don't have room for anybody else. To me, Bowman is going to be a very key guy on special teams because he gets down there in a hurry. He's a really good gunner. And then the other thing he's going to be there for is if somebody should happen to get nicked up. I mean, Bowman's got terrific size, good length, good coverage skills. He's not a bad player. And quite frankly, if you think about him as your fourth corner, that's really good. And that is not to disrespect Trumaine McBride, who has proven he can play cover corner in this league, coming off of a hip issue, did run his sprints yesterday. Apparently, he's a full go. And then there's Hosley, who's suspended to start the season. But the Giants have a number of players, and I still think that Charles James has skills. I'm not sure where he's going to fit on this roster because they have so many players at corner. But then again, how many times have you heard me say that the last 3 or 4 years? And then almost half of those guys immediately get hurt, and the Giants are desperate for more corners.
Yeah. But, well, at least we have the numbers, you know. So we could always go the next man up there. And, you know, eventually their injuries will heal, and eventually they'll come back, hopefully.
Well, that's the idea. You try to compile numbers, and so you can withstand the injuries.
So working from there, now I'm ecstatic about Beeson coming back. I think he's one of the most underrated middle linebackers. He's the captain of the defense right there in the middle. He's calling all the shots. So I'm very happy about that. And that could work up to the D-line. Now everyone's talking about, you know, who's going to be the starting ends. I think what this team really needs to do is they need to get their opponents in third and long and then unleash that NASCAR package. And then you could put them anywhere. You could put, you know, you could put Kiwi. You could put Moore, Ayers, JPP. And then you could just switch them around and then just unleash them. Put Beeson in the middle and let those D-backs cover. And I don't see anyone getting really out of that, you know?
Well, it always starts with stopping the run. And with the Giants' enhanced secondary, they believe that if they give the front four an extra half a second or an extra second to get to the quarterback, that will help their sack totals improve from last season.
Yeah, definitely agree on that.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it very much. I believe, is this Dom? You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Good to talk to you. Thank you.
This is my first time calling, so I just want to listen to the show every day. Great job, you guys.
Very cool. Right. And jot down that number, 201-939-4513.
It's actually stuck in my head because every time you guys say it over and over again, when I made the call this morning, it was automatic. 201-939-4513.
There you go. And we're not trying to sell you anything either. We just want you to talk. How about that?
Well, yeah, it's exciting. No, all the callers, everyone's great. Everyone has a lot of input on the show. Actually, the first question I want to ask you is, I don't know if you're a big fantasy football guy. I usually like to stay away from Giants players whenever I pick on fantasy. But who do you think will be a good fantasy prospect this year?
Well, you know, I'm not a fantasy football guy either. I deal with the reality of the X's and the O's. If you wanted to look for a potential fantasy score with the Giants, it seems to me that it starts and stops with Victor Cruz, because you pretty much can pencil him in for 70 to 80 catches, 1,000 yards, and probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 10 touchdowns. So to me, that's the guy. I don't know that I would necessarily go anywhere else if I was playing fantasy football.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, my next question is, going back to the defensive backs, and Zach Bowman in particular, did he have a good couple of years at Chicago? How was he over there when you
played? He's a solid NFL player. Again, terrific on specials, really good in coverage. That's where he's going to make the bulk of his change with the Giants, because they've got other DBs in front of him. And quite honestly, if DRC and Prince and Thurman remain healthy, I don't see Bowman playing a lot in the secondary. But if somebody should get nicked up, he is certainly capable of playing on the outside. He's not a nickel guy. He'd have to play on the outside. But he's got good length. He's physical enough. And quite honestly, he's experienced enough to get the job done if they need to call on him.
I see. And my last question is, actually, I know that there's been a lot of talk about the tight end position, a lot of question marks and stuff like that. But among the five guys, you have to imagine that there's got to be at least one guy that stands out, you know, one that could be a solid tight end that could block and catch. Because I know we've had a few problems with our catches. I know Martellus Bennett was a solid tight end, but yeah, I remember him dropping like a lot of passes and stuff. Do you think that we have within those five a solid tight end that could be like obviously viewed in practice as a quality tight end?
First off, Martellus Bennett got a real nice chunk of change to go to Chicago, and his biggest issue here with the Giants wasn't about dropsies. It was more about running the wrong routes. He wasn't always very disciplined in his route running. So that's what happened there. He was productive in his season here. I don't think anybody would argue that. But, again, in terms of the value and what Chicago was willing to guarantee him, they just decided to move on and see if they could get cheaper at the position. As far as the five guys they have now, well, look, we all know how Jerry Reese values the athleticism of Adrian Robinson, who's truly yet to produce in his pro career. You look at the other guys like Fells and Davis, they've got at least something on their pro resumes, although nothing overly impressive that would just make your jaw drop. Xavier Grimble, the free agent rookie that they signed out of USC, coming out of high school, was viewed as one of the top tight ends in the nation. But at USC, for whatever reason, again, maybe it was deployment, he did get nicked up a little bit. And also, I think there was some disconnect between him and the coaching staff. He never emerged as an All-American tight end with the Trojans, which is why he was not drafted. But is he a guy who's got a lot of physical tools and maybe some untapped potential? You know, you could certainly make that argument. I'll tell you this. In the past, based on the guys who are holdovers, Larry Donnell was always the guy who I know a number of people in this facility believed had the most potential of the veterans who were here. But once again, what does his resume show? Not a whole lot. Again, look, Jermichael Finley is still out there. If he can get medically cleared, I still think there's a very good possibility he winds up with the Giants. And then again, there are other teams that play a West Coast offense that they're probably going to wind up shaking loose with a tight end at some point. Don't be surprised if the Giants get out their binoculars and seek out one of those guys.
I see. Even if you bring in someone like Jermichael Finley, though, do you think that could be like a solid starter just by picking him up?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, he knows the offense. Being in Green Bay with McAdoo, he's got that down. I mean, there's not even a learning curve involved with Jermichael Finley. Should he be able to get himself back? I mean, look, we've heard about how he was supposedly cleared, but then he visited a couple of teams and he wasn't signed. And then he went back into training and rehab again, which obviously tells you, you don't need me to tell you or a doctor to tell you, Obviously, he's not cleared, or he would have been signed by somebody by now.
That's the thing. I'm convinced that we could be a very strong team, assuming everything goes well in the health department. As long as everyone can stay healthy, I don't see why we can't have a 10-6 season. Even if we go 9-7, could it be enough to take the division? I don't know, but I'm keeping optimistic, man. I'm really pushing for our Giants.
I think top to bottom, there's enough of talent on this roster to say that they are certainly a playoff contender, and should be a playoff team if. And I'm going to give you that one big if. You guys have heard me talking about it for months. If that offensive line holds up and does its job. And the big question, obviously, is at left tackle with Will Beatty's health. He ran very well yesterday. That should give you some optimism. I'm looking forward to seeing him out there today and see how much he can do.
That's great. All right,
thanks
for calling. Well, I appreciate it.
You too now. Call again. Andrew, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
What's up?
I wanted to see if we can – I missed the beginning of the show, so if you already talked about it, sorry. But I just wanted to talk about the offensive backfield as a whole, especially now that Wilson's been cleared, because all offseason it was Jennings was going to be the workhorse.
Jennings is the primary guy. Make no mistake about it. He's the lead running back.
All right. Yeah, but they were always just saying David Wilson was a bonus. What do you think his role will be a little bit more? Are they going to use him as a Sproles-type guy?
That's what I would do. You had to look at David Wilson as a bonus because you had no idea what the doctors were going to say. So if you planned to go forward with David Wilson, you were being foolish. You had to assume that he would not be here and then say, okay, if he gets cleared, it is a bonus. You had to approach it that way. If you didn't, you'd be short-sighted and just dumb. So the Giants went and restocked their backfield. They signed Rashad Jennings. They brought in Andre Williams from the draft out of Boston College. And now it's like, wow, David Wilson's in there too? Great! To me, David Wilson will probably be more effective in this running back rotation as a pass receiver than he will be as a runner from scrimmage.
Now, do you think – now, this definitely puts Peyton Hillis and Michael Cox on the bubble, but I think it also messes with the fullbacks a little bit, depending on if Hillis makes the team. What do you see happening between them four guys? Even though they're separate positions, they're kind of
– Well, no. I think that Connor and Hynoski are battling for the fullback spot. I don't see them as being interchangeable with the other guys. Now, Hillis is the one fellow who, again, because of his hybrid physical nature – has the potential to take some fullback snaps away from the other fellas. I still think they're going to go with one true fullback. I would tend to believe that Hynoski, who is a better pass receiver than Connor, might have the edge specifically because of this scheme and the fact that he does say he's 100%, says he feels better than he ever did. So we're going to see. The proof is in the pudding during the preseason. If he stays healthy, I would give him the slight edge to win the job. Now, as far as the other backs are concerned, how many are you going to keep? You know, you've got between Wilson and Hillis and Jennings and Williams and Cox and Gaskins, six running backs fighting for what could be four spots.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, okay, well, Gaskins looks to me like a primary target for the practice squad. Does Michael Cox make it or not? You know, that's going to be that's going to be a real, real tall hill for him to climb. Now, at the same time, we all know guys can get nicked up. And so
that's very true. It
may open the door for Cox to have an easier time to make the roster. He's got skills. Please don't misunderstand. Michael Cox has skills. He wasn't able to put everything quite together with the playbook last year, but he's got ability.
Yeah, I can understand that. But the thing I don't really – the thing I'm not understanding, though, is more along the lines with Michael Cox, with him not picking up the playbook. I mean, he's not a wide receiver. I know the playbook was complicated, but, I mean, does he know how to run a dive, a trap, a sweep? You know,
okay, like, but you have to remember something.
The running back playbook?
One of the things that the Giants require, and most teams do if they have any common sense, that's it. You need to be able to identify your blitz pickups. Now, did you see Michael Cox playing the preseason last year?
Yes.
And how many times did you see him whiff in the backfield?
Yeah, I don't, it even made me more mad when he had the one start later on in the year.
Okay, so you follow what I'm getting at? That's yes, an issue. You've got to be able to do that. Now, you're going to excuse David Wilson a little bit because he's a number one pick and he's going to have to get on the field at some point, some way. But it does hold him back from being what he could be. It's obviously going to hold a third-day draft choice back. You follow?
Yeah, so exactly.
until Michael Cox...
keeping Eli healthy.
Yeah. So, I mean, Michael Cox with the ball has size and has terrific speed. But it's about more than that.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Paul. Great show.
All right, Andrew. Thank you so much for calling. 201-939-4513. I'm not even getting to the hashtag Giants chat right now because our phone lines are burning up. Let's go back to those lines. And, Charles, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey, good to talk to you. How are you?
Not too bad. Hey, it's football season. Quick question. I got to kind of piggyback what the last caller was talking about. You know, when I look at these running backs, I think we're underestimating Wilson a little bit. You know, out of all the running backs, he's still the most talented. I can't sit here and say that this guy I think he's going to end up starting on this team. And the reason I say that is because he's the most versatile. He's the fastest. He's not a weak guy. He's a strong guy. He's a smart guy. I think Rashad Jennings, I'm glad we got him because he's kind of, he has a nice size and speed to himself. I like the rookie. I think he got, obviously he's a rookie, so he has some growing pains to do. But I think Wilson is still the most versatile running back that we have. I think he's the most talented, and I think that he has a chip on his shoulder, man. All the criticism that he's gotten over the last year, I think he has something to prove.
Well, and, let's put it this way. I do think that Rashad Jennings is more proven, more experienced, clearly is better in terms of picking up whatever he's got to pick up in the backfield because of that experience. David Wilson himself will tell you that that's not the best part of his game. And quite honestly, you'll also remember that little bout he had with fumbleitis, which doesn't make Coach too happy.
Well, here's the thing, too. We're still dealing with a Tom Coughlin football team, but we got to realize, too, look at that guy from Green Bay last year, Lacy, the rookie. I think we're still kind of thinking of the Gilbride system to where blitz pickup is a mandatory thing like that.
It's important.
It's a must. It's in Gilbride system. But see, we're thinking about, we got to kind of change our mind.
You still got to do it in any system. It may be a little bit less emphasized with the West Coast, but you still got to be able to do it. You got to keep people honest. And the other thing I want you to remember, too, is that Lacy's a power back. Wilson's not a power back. He's strong, but he's not considered your typical power back. So don't compare Lacy and Wilson. They're not the same.
No, I'm not comparing them. I'm comparing them as far as, Lacy. I watched a couple of Green Bay games. I've been going back and watching a lot of YouTube stuff from last year because I wanted to see how their system looks. But Lacy Wilson, that guy wasn't that strong in pass protection last year. So what I'm basically saying is he, as a rookie, he was learning, how to pass protect and things of that nature. What I'm saying is I don't know if it's going to have – you got to pass protect on any system on all 32 teams, but I don't know if the emphasis – it's going to be that strong as it was within Gilbride's system. That's what I'm saying.
Well, let's put it this way. If you have a suspect offensive line like the Giants have right now, you're going to need all the help and pass protection you can get, whether it's from your tight ends or your running backs, because you just don't know how stout those five guys up front are going to be. Now, I will add this into the mix in terms of what you're saying, and I appreciate your thought. I'm not disregarding you. I'm not throwing out the comment. I understand where you're coming from. But I also think there's a flip side here that you have to remember. And quite honestly, the other thing about rotating these guys and not making Wilson the lead back, the other benefit to that is that if the Giants truly believe that each guy has a certain skill set that fits a certain part of the rotation best, that means for four quarters you've got fresh running backs to run out onto the field. Isn't that a good thing?
Oh, that's a great thing. Like I said, I think the rookie is going to contribute this year. But I got to say, man, I'm hoping I'm not being too optimistic. But I feel like the O-line going to be good, man.
You do.
I didn't really understand getting Walton and Richburg until yesterday when Sneed retired. And now I see where I, you know, that's why we're fans, and we're not in the front office. We don't see the whole picture all the time, or the complete picture. But man, if you move that, I think he's going to be fine at guard. I think Walton's going to be good. We already got Pugh. Now the only question mark, I think Beatty's going to come back strong. The only thing that I'm, you know, the only position on the line that I'm really got a question mark is left guard. I don't know who's going to be the left guard.
Jeff Schwartz? You know.
Oh, Schwartz, and I forgot about Schwartz. Look, I think this O-line is going to be fine. I think it's going to be a good one. And we can't be any worse than last year, but I think, hey, look, I'm looking for the Giants. And I hate to say this, but I think we're going to win this division. I really do. I'm looking at all the other three teams. I think it's going to be a tough division this year. I think it's going to be a lot better than what it's been. But I think the Giants prime to win this division, man. I like the new system. I think Eli's going to have a bounce back year. I think Odell Beckham's going to have a good year. Man, are we ready? Like I say, man, once we get Beason back on that field, I think the sky's the limit for this team. I don't think we have no limitations with this team, and even with the running backs, but I still think Wilson's going to emerge as a starting running back at some point this season.
My friend, I love the July optimism. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you.
Thank you.
201-939-4513. Let's quickly get to the next call. And this is Derek from Atlanta. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, Paul. I've been MIA for the last couple of weeks, so forgive me if I ask you a couple of questions that you've already gone through.
Sure.
So, but first of all, I want to talk. I didn't call about the running backs, but I just want to say, you know, Eli points out the Mike linebacker every year, or every down to tell a line how to block.
Right.
Now, I mean, I've seen that should also tell the running back who he should be blocking. And I've seen Peyton Manning turn around to, I think it's Montrezl Ball, and kind of just tell him who to block. I mean, maybe, you know, Eli maybe want to take a little bit of that and just say, hey, if we got somebody back there who's young, you know, maybe we just tell him where to block.
Derek,
you know?
I'm going to throw something at you. Some of that stuff that you see, some of the shenanigans you see are also fake. It's bluffs. It's not legit. But to your point, I will tell you this. We've been told that in this new offensive scheme, less of that responsibility relies on the quarterback and more of it is put on the center. And so,
yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, so yeah. I have not discussed with anybody how that changes the reads for the running back, and I should do that. And I'm glad you brought it up because I'm now putting that on my to-do list. At some point during the first week of training camp, I need to figure out how the running back's reading responsibility changes in the new system. So thanks for the call. I appreciate that. Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to ask about Chris Snee and wonder why didn't he put himself on, why didn't he go on PUP and give himself some more time?
Because over the last 2 months, it became apparent to him that there was no more improvement in the elbow. There was hope. Look, about 2 months ago when they were at OTAs, it looked like it was about 80% chance that he was going to retire because the elbow was not great, but there was still some improvement during the early off season that they said, look, if it continues in the next couple of months and we get to training camp and he's well enough to try to compete, we're going to give him a shot. And I think in the last 2 months, what you saw was a leveling off of that improvement. It flatlined. And that's what really took away all of his optimism and made him decide, look, if in the last 2 months I flatlined, then what am I going to get in the next month? I'm not seeing any improvement now. I've stalled. I've hit a wall. That's not good enough. And that's why he decided to retire.
Yeah, I hate to see that happen, but...
Of course.
Yeah, okay. I got a question about I got a couple more. Matthias Kiyanuka, is he day one starter? And is he basically our end?
No, I think Robert Ayers and JPP would be the starters in a perfect world right now. Not that it matters. Again, we said earlier during the show, it's all about the rotation for the Giants. It's about matchups. It's about getting guys as many snaps as they possibly can to keep everybody fresh. To me, this whole starter thing is kind of an irrelevant part of the conversation because you also know that guys like JPP and Kiwanuka can obviously slide down and play a little defensive tackle on occasion too. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if in one particular set, you might wind up seeing Moore and JPP on the outside and Kiwi and Cullen Jenkins on the inside. You might even see that combination. They've got so many guys that they can throw out there and move them around like chess pieces that Perry Fuel is going to mix and match how he sees fit.
Yeah. Okay, I got basically one more question about I saw something on David Tyree's back with the Giants as a player development person.
That is correct. Charles Way went to the National Football League to work for the league in a player development capacity. And David Tyree, the former Super Bowl hero with the Giants, has now taken on Way's old position as director of player development here at the Giants.
Yeah, just can you just quickly, I'll talk to you next time. When are you next on? Tomorrow?
No, I think my next show this week is going to be on Friday. You know, we have a rotating host schedule here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. So I'll be back on Friday.
All right, I'll talk to you Friday. But could you just tell me what player development entails?
That's a lot of... it's very simple. For rookies, that helps get them acclimated, not just in the locker room and on the practice field, but it gets them acclimated to the ways of the team, what the rules are, what the structure is, helps get them settled with their housing, helps get them settled with their schooling and their environment. Player development is all about helping the guy become part of the Giants' atmosphere, not just with a playbook in his hands and say, okay, here's your playbook, this is what you have to do. That's like throwing some guy into 12 feet of water and saying, try to swim right away. You want to try to give him a bit of a flavor as to what he's getting himself into, not just as a player and as a professional, but also the environment of what we're all about here in the New York City area.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks for the call. 201-939-4513. Let's quickly go to the phones again. We only got a few minutes to go. This would be David from New York. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello. David, are you there? I think we lost David. Let's keep going. Andrew from New Jersey. You're next on the show.
Hey, what's up, Paul? Chris Neat did the right thing. He did, you know, the big thing instead of trying to linger on and make a couple paychecks and shuffle in and out of the lineup and bounce around the league. But it was a brave move. And speaking of Chris Neat retiring, on offense, the Giants won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and only Eli and Cruz, I think, and Will Beatty, if Beatty's healthy, those are the only two starters. And if the fullback, Hynowski, I think he was there, then on defense, I don't think any of this. It's on defense. The backup linebackers, Pasinger and Jaquan Williams, but they might not be starters. So I don't know, is there any defensive starters that were on the Super Bowl roster starting a couple of years ago? And on offense, I only counted those three, four if you count Hynowski.
This is so premature to even give this any thought at all. I mean, let's wait till opening day against the Lions to talk about something like this. But you know Antrell Roll was starting, right? And JPP starting.
Yep.
I mean, you know, just go right there. And whether or not you consider a Kiwi a starter or not, you know, the two Super Bowls ago he was on IR, but he played in the last Super Bowl. So, I mean, no, certainly there are some guys here. But that to me, that's kind of irrelevant right now. That's the last thing in the world I'm thinking about is comparing, you know, rosters from a couple of years ago. I'm worried about this roster this year.
And the guys that we got that are returning for the Super Bowl are some great players. And like you said, with the starters, it's similar to basketball. Like a guy comes off the bench and his minutes are the same as the guy who technically started, or maybe even more. So that was a good point, but thanks for taking my call.
All right,
I made
Andrew,
it under the 10:30 wire.
All right, you got it, man. We got one more caller here on the program, and that would be Lawrence from Florida. Lawrence, you're the final caller on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure.
I want to compare, bro, this year to 2007, I think there's a lot of similarities. They have a new offensive coordinator that never did it before. In 2007, they had Spagnuolo, who was the linebacker, who was a new defensive coordinator. Then the year before, everyone said the Giants had the worst offensive line in football. And then last year, Giants could say they had the worst offensive line. Everybody was worried about the left tackle this year with Beatty and. Yeah, they said, we have David Thiel. Don't worry about it. Everyone was still a little nervous. Then he had Seibert coming back from his bad ankle injury. And then I have this new guy on the front line with his ankle injury coming back that he'll probably be okay. So I'm optimistic about the whole thing. The only thing that makes me nervous, and I haven't heard anyone mention it, is I like Eli throwing the long ball. And a lot of times when Eli throws his short passes, how many times have you seen the guys cutting across and Eli throws just behind them or over the head or in the dirt? And even with the screen passes, a lot of times he didn't seem like he let it set up. He threw the ball a little too fast and hard, and the guy would turn around, the ball's already hitting him in the head. It's the only thing that makes me nervous. The Giants might lose the first one or two games like they did that year, but I think the things that, you know, they get that under control, they can skyrocket and go the whole route. And every time you don't think that the Giants are going to do that well the next year, that's when they always do good. Every time you're excited about them, they don't do anything. That's why I think the Giants are really going to skyrocket this year.
All right, Lawrence, I'm going to make two quick responses for you before we let you go. First of all, in terms of the season you talked about, 2007, look, you have to understand that rookie class contributed up and down the floor immediately, okay? Or up and down the field, I should say, not the floor. Floor is basketball. But that entire rookie class made an immediate impact. That's like catching lightning in a bottle. I can't tell you that all the rookies are going to make an immediate impact on this team this year. And that was one thing that truly put that team over the hump. In spite of everything else you said, the one lightning in a bottle factor is how many rookies are going to make an immediate impact on your team. That is so, so rare to have it go right through the draft. And they did that season. So that's a variable that you just cannot count on. The other thing about Eli, many times, if you go back and log all of his missed throws or incompletions or picks, because of mechanics. And many times those mechanics are thrown off because of pressure, which is why it goes back to the offensive line. If they don't do an adequate job, I'm sorry. Eli Manning is not the elite quarterback that the Giants need him to be. And you know what? That's okay. It just means he's human. That's all it means. He's human. His mechanics tend to break down when people are in his face. That's okay. It says nothing about him as a man or as a football player. It just says that his mechanics aren't what they should be when guys get in his face. He doesn't step in and follow through properly. His arm angle gets bad. His balance is bad. His footwork gets bad. These things happen. That's why your offensive line has to do its job to let this guy go out and win two Super Bowl MVPs. Lawrence, appreciate the phone call.
We can do it.
Okay, man. Thanks so much. All right, folks, that'll do it for today. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We'll get to those during the course of the week. Couldn't do it today because the phone lines were burning up. 201-939-4513, Monday to Friday, 9:30 to 10:30 here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Practice today starts at 1:20 outside the Giants facility. It'll be on for about 2 hours. It is free to the public. Come on out and see it. And following practice today, it is wide receiver day to give some autographs out to the fans as time permits. Appreciate your time. Thanks for listening. This is Paul Tatino. So long, everybody.